Hello there, and welcome to Poor Quality, a show where some friends talk about beer and life and all the goofy stuff that gets in between the two. Each week, the hosts may be different, but don't worry, they are guaranteed poor quality material. Join us and listen in as the brew crew talks about what ails their life. Now let's see what we're drinking. We're here again.
16.
Going on 17. But yes.
Sweet, sweet 16.
It is so sweet.
My favorite number.
So sweet. Is it?
Chris's favorite number.
It is.
Is it your birthday?
It is.
Oh, today's Chris's birthday.
So happy birthday to Chris.
Happy birthday to Chris.
So tonight.
Driver's license.
Is it too late to say we've done this joke before?
Tonight, I asked the boys to come up with what mode of transportation their beer reminds them of. So I'm going to start with Colin.
What? No, you started off, but that's fine.
I started off.
He's hosting. He can do whatever he wants.
I'm going to go last.
Oh, I like this attitude.
This frisky
Christo.
I am drinking a Drafty Kilt Scotch Ale from Monday Night Brewing. I think they're from Atlanta, Georgia. I was just in our local Publix and saw it and it sounded good enough. Mode of transportation. So it's kind of, it's strong, has a lot of flavor, has a lot of character. So I'm going to say like a train, like an underground train, like the subway.
All right. You got
a lot of different characters on the subway. They can be a little eccentric at times. So yeah, that's the best I can come up with.
Colin, you're a classically trained character actor. Do you have any of those characters you could pull out of your pocket now? Just give us a little little bit of improv humor right now. Some of those characters I know that you like to work on from the subway.
Can I do that?
On the subway. Colin,
absolutely.
Go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here we go.
Yeah, Matt, what are you drinking?
Yeah, tonight I'm drinking Tennessee Ale. Great friends, great beer. Hap and Harry's original Tennessee Ale, courtesy of Mike, because I bought beer but didn't want to drink it. So that's why Mike gave me this one. Not because I didn't buy beer.
Nope, Matt is right.
Not because of that. When I drink this, which I'm going to do really quickly right now.
See, I designed this with you in mind a little bit. I was like,
Yeah, this beer... This beer's got thrust. This beer's got something that could get you to space.
Okay.
Immediately what comes to mind is Nostromo. The name of the spaceship that they have on Alien.
Well, at least you did some research, apparently. We're getting new information this time, at the very least.
Or Matt, do you just know that? I feel like you should just know that.
Wait, do you know the name?
It's Nostromo.
I'm not gonna look it up.
It would ruin the magic.
I'm just glad he almost tried with that. So I've got the Soundcheck Session IPA from Peachtree Brewing here in Iowa. It's a sweet. Not too hoppy, just nice, well-rounded IPA. And because it's got, I'll show you guys, but I'll describe it on the podcast. It's got like all sorts of music knobs and gears and levers and whatnot. Because it's called Soundcheck, it made me think of a very specific mode of transportation and location of that transportation. And that would be sitting in the front left seat in like a minivan. Like behind, was it like captain's chairs?
I thought you were talking about the driver's seat.
No, no, yeah, being in the, I think I would.
You know, the spot in the far left, in the far front left, the car or the wheel by it, yeah,
on the headlight.
Yeah, you ever heard of that spot? Do you know of that in a car?
Have you heard?
Anyway, it reminds me of that because I, and this will kind of get into what we're going into later, but I used to sit there on long car trips, and I was not allowed to have sound on any of the game devices that I ever played. So Game Boy or like a little cheap handheld game from like Kmart that, you know, had died in a couple months, like anything, it was no sound. And I just got very used to that.
I bet you couldn't have any beer either.
No, not when I was like 4.
Yeah, seems unlikely.
Can I circle back real quick?
Okay.
I'm a circle back. Celico is named after a fictional town in Joseph Conrad's novel Nostromo, the name of the ship from the original Alien, and a number of other names in the franchise are based on Conrad's work as well. Congratulations, Matt. You guys, actually looks researched like something.
Matt cares about the show. What a relief.
I hate to justify your joke.
Look, guys, look, it's not that I care about the show.
Trust me.
It's that I care about Chris.
Mike, what are you drinking?
And I care about this beer. It is a hoppery, hoppery IPA from Yazoo in Nashville. I'm still going through the bases trying to try all these beers. This one I had never seen, nor have I had, and it is so bitter. Like, it's honestly probably one of the most bitter IPAs I've ever drank. It's great.
Can I see it?
It's it finishes strong and heavy and all that. More beer things that you can tell me about. Anyway. Mode of transportation. Chris, you're going to have to curb my enthusiasm if I'm a little bit out of the boundaries for this one. But if I was to travel from the top of, like, say, a pretty steep mountain, and I'm trying to get to a village far below, I imagine this beer being wingsuit status.
All right. That's a mode of transport.
Because Matt is using physical gestures to make fun of me right now. But I, in like, say, the wintertime, it is so brutally bitter cold and just splashing up on your face and you can barely feel your nose.
Okay.
That's the bitterness. That's the bitterness I associate with this beer.
Like, you just did this. Wouldn't skiing or snowboarding be like much more practical?
Not necessarily.
I mean, I kind of thought Matt was going to say, like, spaceship or teleporting or something, so I was pretty open-minded when I came up with this prompt.
Okay, okay.
So I think that qualifies.
Awesome.
It is a means of transport.
Chris, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a beer that I've never had before, and also an IPA. I feel like this is just an IPA night for us.
IPAs are my favorite.
But it's a Star Hill Brewery Northern Lights IPA, and
has that been drunk on the show before?
Maybe.
I recognize that name.
It tastes familiar, but I haven't had it before. But
maybe you, I don't know
either. But it is brewed in Virginia, and I don't know, it tastes like an IPA. It's pretty good. It's kind of bittersweet, reminds me of flying, which is always kind of bittersweet because it's like, whenever I fly, it's usually back home and then my other home, which is here. So, and also just, I've never seen the Northern Lights, but the lights part just reminds me of, like, at night pulling in with the plane and seeing all the city lights of either Nashville or Boston. Hmm. So,
you see, for me, the bittersweet of flying is that it's awesome that I'm getting somewhere at a distance, but it's super bitter and terrifying. The machine that I'm in.
Yeah, there are definitely multiple bitters and
giant
sweets.
Metal tubes soaring through the air at 500 miles an hour.
The tube that's flying. Oh, it's just that petrifies me.
Yeah.
When I went to Europe when I was a little younger, when I was like 15, 16, I think. And on the international flights, they have the like in-flight entertainment in the back of the TV. And you could pull up like a map and like plane diagnostics and stuff like that. And to see that we were traveling 500 miles an hour or faster was the most ridiculous thing to me. Just to think, like, it would just rip you apart. If you, like, any part of you touched this, it would just, you're gone.
Yep.
I peed standing up at 500 miles per hour. That's crazy.
I put it on my resume.
It was only kind of hard. It was only kind of difficult.
Matt's lost in a giggle fit.
It was only kind of hard.
That's why I changed the word to difficult.
I wanted that so bad. Thank you.
That's why I was like, oh, it was difficult. Never mind.
Oh my word.
So this morning I sent a little bit of a prompt that I think I'm going to continue with. And we were talking last podcast about doing etiquette, or talking about etiquette tonight. So I asked the boys to come up with what was something that their parents always got on their case about when they were growing up in terms of manner or etiquette, such as like chewing with their mouth open or, I don't know, belching at the dinner table. And do you still do it today?
Who should start? Chris?
I'm going to start with...
Oh, Chris will choose.
Trent.
Oh, man.
You're up.
This is hard, which is going to be confusing because you guys know me as a little bit of a rowdy boy. But... like being a middle child growing up, like I just had to be so like peacekeeping and like not bug anybody and kind of just be quiet and be in the back. And so I was really well behaved growing up. And I don't know how much, I think etiquette and hygiene are pretty closely related.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be, Chris, would you?
Yeah, I guess. I guess it's bad manners to show up smelling like butt.
Yeah, so an issue I had, and we can skip to maybe something different, depending on how you guys feel. But I had this issue, I guess a little bit growing up, but specifically on one car trip.
Oh no, I'm really nervous.
We stopped at a rest stop to relieve ourselves, as you can at 500 miles per hour in an airplane.
Sure.
And they had given me grief because they said, "Oh, Trent, you've always got dribble on your pants." And I'm like, "Okay, you guys, that's not even true." And so,
Trent, I was just looking at your crotch and I saw that it's still wet.
Yeah, it's growing up in a weird thing, but I mean, I don't know, like when you're wearing khakis and it's just there.
Okay, well, khakis are miserable for any liquid.
Anything. Yeah, so I thought as a joke when we went in, I would just take a little bit of water, splash it on my pants.
Yeah.
And I'd walk outside saying, "I didn't get any this time." And just have a big spot there.
And this is that excellent self-deprecating humor that
at such a young age, I had started figuring it out. And everyone in my family thinks that I actually did this and it was a real thing. But I went out and I said, "Didn't have any dribble this time, everybody." And everybody looked and there was a lot of wetness in the crotchal region. And they just all started laughing. And but yeah, I mean, I guess that was a real issue because,
Trent,
it did happen, but that time,
didn't. Are you trying to put down for the record that you didn't pee your pants at this rest stop? Like, are you compensating for something right now? Because you can tell us this is a safe place, Trent.
No, and
this
is a safe place. I 100%.
If you peed yourself, you can tell us.
I'm sure I did, and I'm sure there was lots of instances leading up to that where I did, in fact, do the deed in which I had been accused. But I think this was my defining moment entering comedy. And I guess to answer your question now, Chris, yes, this is something that I am actually very concerned about now, because I have a bad habit of leaning against countertops. So like anytime I go into the bathroom, I lean against a sink and it's always just at like perfect dribble crotch level.
I hate that. Oh. I do that all the time.
And I'm just like, I get so scared.
He peed in a perfect line.
horizontally.
Inside of shorts.
When the
sorry.
Okay.
Nope.
I hate it when. Wait.
Wait, Chris?
No.
Matt?
No, I don't have anything to say anymore.
Okay, come on.
Matt?
I hate it when the sinks are too low in your wash. Okay, so.
Oh, boy.
No, I'm actually done. I'm not going to say anything.
Well, Trent, we have to ask. I guess you did answer this. It does kind of stick around with you to this.
Yeah, definitely.
But I'm always concerned about you peeing.
Okay, I don't know why you are.
You should in the pee chat we have. Maybe this should be. Shouldn't talk about this.
There's a pee chat. Hey man, what color is it today? You drinking enough?
How's your vitamin intake, brah? Is it neon?
No, it's just a Snapchat group. You just gotta take a picture of your sample.
Send it to the doctor. How's this looking? Please delete me.
Hey, Mike.
How did you get this number?
What, Chris? This is a stupid show.
I think it's kind of hilarious that we started out the Etiquette podcast talking about piss. Out the gate. Hey, let's immediately go to the bathroom humor.
Oh, my God. It's disgusting.
Well, sorry, y'all. That's me, though. You know me. I guess that's a problem with etiquette that I have. A little too open about the potty talk.
Got to be more courteous, Trent.
Yeah, but I think there's some value in the honesty.
Hey, Matt, care to take it out of the bathroom?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was a kid and using the bathroom a lot, I wanted to come up with a better joke than that, but that's all I had in the moment. So... One thing that my dad always got really, not mad, but like agitated about me at. That was a great sentence. Nice. Anyway, he used to get agitated.
How do words?
I don't know. Because I am a fiddler. I would just play the violin all the time. Now, I always need to be... I don't know, touching something. Like when I have pens in front of me, I always, you know, the part where you're supposed to clip it onto your clip it onto your notebook. Yeah, that part is not on any of my pens because I'm always fiddling with stuff and playing with stuff. And what reminded me of this was actually Trent at the beginning of the episode when we were talking about Vans. And my dad loves huge Vans, just enormous ones with the big captain's chairs, and we always used to have those growing up, and we would take long car trips over the summer a lot. And I remember sitting back because I was right behind the driver's seat in the big captain's chair, and this big window, and it always had the shades. I don't know if anyone remembers those types of big vans that have like the shades on the windows. Yeah. So, but on like the rim of the window, there's sealant, and this sealant was like black, and gooey, and when it was in the sun for too long, it would sort of melt and you could peel and pick it off. So what I did for like a couple of years is I just kept peeling and peeling and peeling, and I eventually had this like big ball of black like tar that I would just play with in the car, and my dad found it and he just I mean, like, looking back, like, I was pulling apart the sealant of the car, like, and we lived in Wisconsin, and that's not good for the winter. You want your car to be sealed, and I still get, my parents still pointing out to this day that I'm always fiddling with stuff, and that's a little bit of etiquette that I would say that I'm working on it, but I don't. It's a habit, and I'm never going to be able to break it. I can quit at any time.
Actually,
I swear.
I actually just bought one of those fidget cubes that was on
Kickstarter.
I bought one, and I take it like anytime I have to go to a meeting, and it's just so nice. Mm-hmm. Like, it was one of the things I was like, this might be stupid. This might be just like a dumb thing that I bought, but I find myself.
I saw that as well, and I feel like I could utilize that big time. Honestly, the whole time we've been recording so far, I've been playing with this rubber band. Just to kind of, because I like it, and apparently it like calms your nerves, like doing something.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Helps memory. Like before, I must have read it somewhere beyond the sea, where like you, if you have a lot of talk show hosts, like give their not subjects, that's not the interviewees, like a paperclip. At the beginning of an interview, and they can just like unbend it and like rebend it and like at least do something with their hands, and it's not very noticeable. I can't remember where I read that, but I thought that was interesting.
That makes a lot of sense, though.
Yeah,
and I think one thing that that's kind of translated into everyone's lives with the cell phone as just like a fidgeting object, just an object to have to hold, like because I don't know, in like meetings or any time that something's not happening, I'll find myself like opening up my phone, unlocking it, clicking on any of the apps that I, you know, want to check up on, seeing that I've seen everything, close it down, look around for a second, open it back up, click on the same app, and see that I've seen everything, been like, well, I literally just did this. What am I doing? Like, it's usually because the people around me aren't talking to me. And it's the only way to pretend like I'm busy and doing something.
Right.
Cell phone culture is going to be really interesting as we age.
Wait, Colin's back?
Colin?
Yeah, Colin left for a minute.
Yeah.
How like, rude.
I can't.
What bad manners. He can't even hear us.
Even worse, he's not even listening.
He's not even listening. That's double bad manners.
I came right back in to hear that I wasn't listening.
We were just talking about your bad manners.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was
and we were talking about cell phone culture and how that's going to be interesting moving forward as we age.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's going to make us terrible.
How normal it'll be for everybody to just walk around and look at their cell phones. And I wonder how moving forward, because like, boomers will make fun of us for, you know, always being on our phones. I wonder what we're gonna laugh at with the kids.
What's the next thing?
Yeah, the next generation. I wonder what that's gonna be.
These kids will never stop playing with their hovercrafts.
I mean, people have been saying that since the 40s.
We're gonna be really jealous, I feel like, because they're just gonna be like, I wish I could do cool stuff.
Yeah.
Dang it.
What do you mean? Trent, we're always going to be cool.
Well, I'm always going to... Well, certainly, some of us are always going to...
Stay cool.
Well, speaking of my rudeness and just walking off the podcast without saying anything, I guess I can talk about my etiquette. I guess growing up, actually in middle school, I took a cotillion class, like... recreationally. Cotillion? Like
Colin, really? You can't make up words every podcast, I swear.
Macronutrients, cotillion. No, cotillion's like a
katana?
I'm actually just misspeaking, trying to say katana. I took a katana class.
That's way cool.
That's super neat.
Why did I say that in the first place?
An 18th century French dance based on contra dance.
That's not exactly what it was.
Thank you, Google and dyslexia.
Now, do you want Google to finish telling you, or would you want my input on it?
No, tell us, Colin.
Let's hear it from the professionals, Mike.
I mean, that those words were all that Google provided, so I think Colin should take it from there.
It was weird. Google actually didn't produce any results. It was just those words.
Those
on the
were
screen.
The words. The links.
It said, "Look no further."
No, cotillion was like a I guess like a dining and I guess just like formal etiquette kind of class. So like, you know, where the spoons and knives go on the side of the plate, what, how to eat without being a mess, you know, soup spoons versus salad forks versus, you know, all these different kind of things. So I took that in middle school. I thought it was weird that we had the class in middle school, but it was myself and maybe five or six other people. It was not a large class, but so I guess I have that formal, quote unquote, formal training and etiquette. I don't use it regularly at all, but I would say my biggest etiquette, like, I guess, faux pas growing up, that my parents would always get on to me too, or sorry, that my parents would always get on to me for, was, well, there's two, and one of them's like not a big deal, and one of them's like, I guess, more of a big deal. Like, one of them's I just put my elbows on the table when I eat. So whether it's, you know, holding a burger or just fork and knife, I just have my elbows on the table. And my parents were always very, get your elbows off the table, get your elbows off the table. And so they, I mean, they were trying to raise as proper of a boy as they could. They did a pretty good job, but I still have that. I still have that feature, I guess, that bad manners. So that's one.
I never really understood the whole elbows on the table thing. Like, I know it's it's not. I like always have my elbows on the table. Like you will very frequently see my elbows anywhere but not on a table surface.
Food is the best part of your day. Why don't you make yourself uncomfortable? No.
Yeah. Go ahead and do that. Go ahead and be uncomfortable while you eat. That's great. The sustenance, your life fuel.
I guess the idea is that you're just like lumbering and taking up space by like having your elbows on the table. You know, you're that much more.
Well, I mean, and also more than likely, it came from a more refined, an attempt at being a more refined part of culture. You know, where like the peasants or the any sort of barbarian, it would just sit there, both elbows on the table, just ripping into some meat. And you know, the wealthy people,
I guess that's a good
with
point.
Actual
yeah.
silverware, you know, you don't have your elbows on the table. You're not tearing into it. You have civilized silverware. Yeah. So I don't know. That could
I guess our kind of modern food that we do that with, like sandwiches and burgers, they didn't, sandwiches weren't really, you know, the hit in Renaissance period.
I wonder if it was also a posture.
In where?
I wonder if it was also what? A posture.
It certainly.
I wonder if it was also a posture thing. One more time. I wonder if it was also a posture thing, because, like, assumedly, if you have your elbows on the table, you're leaning over and not having good posture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I notice that all the time when I'm, like, eating lunch alone at work or anything. All of a sudden, I'll just become very cognizant that, like, I am hunched over in this, like, corner eating a sandwich. And I'm like, oh, this is bad. I gotta fix this right now.
I often find myself doing that.
Juicy sweet!
And the second, I guess like the second like large
Trent,
etiquette thing.
Trent, why does nobody sit by you at lunch?
I go out of my way to sit by myself at lunch. Thank you.
Hey. I wanted to mention faux pas. A slip or blunder in etiquette, manners,
oh,
or conduct.
Oh man, you had to look
you
up,
looked
faux
up faux
pas.
An embarrassing social blunder or indiscretion. No.
I Google one thing at the beginning of the podcast, and now
and
all
suddenly,
of a sudden.
Suddenly it's like you've introduced Google into Mike's life.
Yeah, Mike no, is a fount of knowledge this
episode.
This is
a fantastic
wait, what is
found.
This?
I can ask you.
Oh, I will also include that I spelt faux pas, P-H-O-P-A-H, faux pas.
That it's very posh.
Yes, quite.
Read a book. I'm Zach. I'm here. Oh, thanks, Zach.
Thanks, Zach. Thanks for joining us, Zach.
We gotta pour one up for Zach.
Mike, don't pour that out on the ground.
Please.
No.
Mike.
It's a nice rug. That's bad etiquette.
We're never getting our security deposit back.
No way. Colin, you had a part two?
Yeah, part two is... I guess because I had an older brother who was more rambunctious and kind of more of a rowdy boy than myself growing up, especially, I would always get in trouble for, I guess as you could debate if this was etiquette or not, but I would get in trouble for language. So I guess, cursing in front of my parents and stuff like that. Oh. And they would always have the threat of, we're going to wash your mouth out with soap kind of thing.
Ooh, that happened to me.
Oh. And it was always, and from my point of view, it was always that do it, you won't kind of thing, because they never did. And mm-hmm. so I guess still to this day, because they never washed my mouth out with soap, I still find myself cursing openly in front of my family. And every now and then my dad will be like, language, Colin. And I look at my dad, I'm like, I'm 23. Like, I think at this point you've tried the hardest and it's not working. Like, I'm going to do it. It's fine. But yeah, so that's definitely something I still struggle with.
That's one thing that I notice in like different families. Like, swearing is either so acceptable and like okay and it's fine, or it's just like, please avoid at all costs using those words.
Actually, my family is the exact middle of that.
Really?
It's so weird.
That's what I'm guessing middle means they're scaled. Like, there's some words that are like are okay in moderation, and there's some words where in instances, and then there's some words where that's, oh yeah, I'm in my bad zone there.
Yeah, way up there. Huh?
Yeah. It is, and it's mostly the company and the context where certain swears will be used or accepted, but normally they're not. I also remember, speaking of etiquette, that I went through a super swearing phase in elementary school.
Oh, what? Okay.
Wow.
No. That's awesome.
Are we talking like, so cool. real actual swear words? Are these like,
oh,
like,
real,
like elementary like school curse words?
Like F-bombs, like dropping that next to... yeah, so... I remember specifically.
I just had a picture, little Magic going around cussing at people.
Hey, you!
You're like trying to do your multiplication tables, and also you just look at your teacher like, "F this,
flip of the bird."
You have 30 more seconds.
Yeah, I mean, but I remember the day that phase ended. Was on the right next to the blacktop, outside near the playground. They would always scrape it off with the well, I've been living in Tennessee so long, I don't know, snow plows.
Wow.
They would always plow the blacktop, and it would, and you guys from the north remember?
Oh, sure.
The North remembers.
I was going to do it. Dang it.
Giant piles of snow.
Yeah.
Just next to parking lots and stuff. So when you're a kid, I mean, those are always wild and tons of fun to climb because they're like mountains.
Oh, you know it.
Yes.
Or build a little igloo inside.
Build a little igloo.
Tunnel on through, definitely. Huh?
I remember this was like fifth or sixth grade. I was clambering over this and just swearing, just dropping swears left and right, just for no reason. And I remember seeing another kid who was younger than me, probably third or fourth grade. And I was just swearing. I was just swearing, not to him, just throwing into the swears. Air. Yeah, I was just climbing the snow.
And the best part of this is that they're probably like, they're probably nonsense curse words.
Oh
like,
yeah, no, it didn't have any context or yeah, no, it didn't mean anything.
You're gonna have to do some bleeping here, but I just wanted. This is what's in my head right now. That's killing me.
Okay. Matt.
just trudging over the snow hills,
kicking off snow and chunks of ice,
kicking snowmen.
But just tiny elementary school Matt. Holy cow, I'm dying. Oh my gosh.
Just imagine like a really angry drunk man, but like a child.
Yeah.
Well, that's like every angry drunk man. They're a child.
No. Yeah.
This would be so funny to see as an adult.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't so funny to the mom of the kid who was on the snow pile as well.
Oh my.
I went over the peak, and I just, you know, just swearing, just climbing and swearing and climbing and swearing, and I see this kid, and I'm like, ah, whatever, climbing and swearing, and I get to the top, and I look right over, and I just see this mom looking at me like.
It's Lucifer himself. Was,
well, yeah, and I looked right at her, and I thought, maybe I don't swear anymore. It was the moment where I realized that swearing was offensive.
The sun shone down, and he said, no, I'm a young man now.
No more. but yeah, that was a bit of swear etiquette.
Wow.
You know what helps calm yourself so you don't have to go on swearing rampages?
Tell me.
That's if you have a really nice, well-stocked beer fridge. So, let's go do that. Into the sky.
Well, hello there, folks. Welcome to the middle of the podcast, the stocking of the beer fridge. This is the section where, of course, we talk about all those lovely sponsors that just keep giving us money. This week, we are sponsored by this joke. Say, how many Freudian analysts does it take to change a light bulb? Well, it's two. One to change it, and the other to hold the penis. I mean ladder. I meant ladder. Oh, yeah, just one second. I just wanted to say that. Oh, wait, I wanted to say this on the podcast. Oh, perfect. I can just say it right now.
That's disgusting. What a way.
I wanted to let you boys know.
Oh, okay.
Trent.
This is bad manners.
That's just poor etiquette.
Okay.
I wanted
it's a
to
poor
let it...
quality of etiquette.
Oh, so's interrupting, though, isn't it?
Yikes.
Ooh. That's fine. I just wanted to let everybody know that I am currently wearing my Valentine's Day present from my wonderful fiance Hannah. They are a pair of silky smooth MeUndies, my first pair.
Nice.
And boys, it's like heaven on my butt.
I was wondering if that's what I grabbed out of the mailbox, and it said time sensitive, and I was like, yes. Why is this time sensitive? I'm confused.
Say love all over them.
These have got to get on this boy's.
These need to be on my hiney.
So what's really funny about the packaging as well is that it is literally, and I'll have to show you boys who are. Well, actually, I can pull it up. I'll have to describe it for the podcast. Let me grab it.
I still don't own MeUndies. I think that's
the
my next step.
The packaging for this is. I don't know if you can see this, but it is just like a trail mix bag. With
awesome.
With the Ziploc top, and like you rip off the top, and it's got the bottom half so that you can like set it down for trail mix. They sent MeUndies in a trail mix bag.
But the other thing is, it's like dark, and it's got like a cute lip design, and it just says MeUndies on it. So when my parents got my first package of MeUndies, my mom sent me a very concerned text about Trent. Just got a package from you from MeUndies? And I was like, okay, cool. And then she sent me a picture and she's like, what is this? And I was like,
pulls it out.
It's just nice underwear, Mom. I got a subscription plan. It's fine. You're going to get one every month.
So. Now, like, my wife is a person who hates my underwear because I'm a person who has had the same underwear for. But we've been dating. We've been together 6 years. I've had the same underwear for 6 years.
Ugh!
I thought you got married.
We don't. I said together. I amendumed.
What? Colin, is everything okay?
What I'm trying to say is, I have very bad underwear, and I could definitely use this underwear delivery service of classy underwear.
$16 a month for the subscription.
And it's very, 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 very good and comfortable.
Yeah, I'm almost up to a full week's worth now, so.
That's big time.
Yeah. Next level.
So all this to say, MeUndies.
Please.
Please sponsor
take
us.
Listen. if you would.
MeUndies, take a listen. Colin needs
this
underwear.
Wasn't planned, MeUndies. This was natural, okay? This is real conversation about your product.
This is 100% natural. Okay, guys, good job reading your scripts. Chris, do you want to bring us back in here?
Now that we've done that.
Well, let me just put my script away. I just got to put my script away.
I still have underwear from, like, eighth grade. And I need to.
Gross, Chris.
Oh, Chris. To get
new underwear.
I'm buying you new underwear when I come
back. I'm literally not leaving that in because that's so gross.
I mean, it's clean. It's just old.
No. It's not
clean. I'm going to put
that hole.
Oh, Chris, you got your underwear switched up in my laundry. I got to put it away now. That's what your 18-year-old underwear sounds like. Because it is turned to literal paper.
Your 25-year-old underwear. I'm still wearing my diapers.
MeUndies, let's talk about Depends. Depends are great for your rump and great for your dump.
Project. Oh, that's what it says on the box.
Let's not talk about that. How about Mike? What's your story?
It's not anything I have said in the last 2 minutes.
I kind of figured.
It was helpful to hear you guys talk because, oh my gosh, there were so many things that, like, especially around the dinner table, I feel, that were just so, like, you cannot eat your food until everybody at the table gets it, or you need to wait around the dinner table until everybody finishes and is, like, set on leaving and done, and, like, those sorts of things. Dinner etiquette was a big thing, but there's one time in particular where I was eating with my brother and my dad, and we were at Chef Chu's getting some Chinese grub, and... They provide you with chopsticks, a fork, and this monstrous spoon, like almost a ladle-sized spoon. And I must have been 10, 11, 12-ish, and maybe even young. I don't know. Either way, I was still during my times as an obese boy, and I was just ready to shovel some fried rice into my gullet. And I elbow sky high... spoon, ladle, I should say, like, ready to just shovel down, and I am just going hog wild on this plate. I am literally 2 inches from it and just until my dad says, Michael, what in God's name are you doing? And I said, I'm just
eating, Dad.
And then my brother said, no, Michael, this is how you eat. Well, he didn't say that. He's not a But he showed me how a human.
No, Michael. Here is how you eat.
Let me show you. See, you cut up your rice. It's too big to eat in one bite.
Cut up your noodles.
Here comes the aeroplane, Mike.
Choo-choo. Airplanes don't go choo-choo.
Train pulling into the... pulling into Flavor Station. Choo-choo.
They'll come in.
Oh, my. Welcome to German time. Okay.
Anyway.
The story's even better, though, if your brother's like, no, Michael, this is how you eat. And he just dumps the bowl upside down.
onto his face, just
pours it in.
Whatever he gets in his mouth, he's like, that's it. That's how you do it.
And that's what you get. It's a lottery system.
Boy, you sure showed me.
He takes a funnel off a keychain and just holds it up.
Oh my God. Delicious. Hope you didn't want to taste it.
Efficiency.
So, Mike, do you still do that today?
I don't think so. Not to unless I'm just doing it subconsciously. No, I have done much better with that. I used to eat so fast. That was another thing too. Mm-hmm. And like, you should. It's not that it's a competition. It's not a speed race between you and whoever you're eating with. But even so, I was at a Packer game and I was eating a meal before we like went into the stadium, and I scarfed down a burger, and my dad had two friends with him, and he said, wow, you sure ate that fast. And I won't forget that, because you shouldn't say that to anyone. Then again, I shouldn't eat a burger in 8 seconds, but that's who I was as a lad.
Well, there's two extremes, right? Where if you eat too fast, everybody's like, whoa, what is your, you're sick, you're, what's wrong with you?
Was ungodly.
But also at the same time, if you eat, like, if that same burger took you an hour, everybody's like, Mike, we have to go. Come on. Like,
Mike, your burger is literally ice cold.
I feel like that same sort of fast, slow extremes translates really well to the bathroom as well. Because if you go to the bathroom and are out in 4 seconds,
let's go.
People are like, what did you do in there? Did you pee and wash your hands at the same time?
Okay.
Did you skip one of those two things?
Did you switch the things around?
And then if you're in there for too long, then people be asking questions.
So here's
the tough ones too.
Guys, I do a bad thing repeatedly regarding this. And Zach's brought it up, and I think it was on the podcast that was published, but I do not enjoy peeing in a public restroom if there is anybody else in that restroom. So sometimes I will walk into the bathroom and see someone already there or see someone like in a stall, and I will just walk back out. And I just cannot imagine what's in that person's head, or someone who's like sees me in the hallway doing this. Like, what, did he just like... You know what? I don't have to use the bathroom. I'm okay.
Like, you know what? You know what? No, not today.
I'm here.
I'm better than this.
So why we're on this? Why we're on this?
I wasn't going to come back to this place.
I am the master of my own fate. Not today. No, not today.
I will dribble on my terms.
I mean, I definitely have similar things to Mike related to food and dinner time and stuff, but I think something that definitely hasn't improved today is being late. And
yeah,
my mom would always be like, Chris, like, you're gonna be late, like, get ready quicker, like, get up. I don't know, like, today I'm still I talked about it in the podcast as well, that like I just leave at the last second or wake up at the last second possible, and it's definitely not great manners to show up even if it's 5 minutes late. Like, it's still not great.
Yeah, I feel so bad when I walk into class late.
Yeah, class or work, because like I have this bad habit where I leave with enough time to get there on time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like, if anything happens, I'm late. I don't leave to get there early. I leave to get there on time, and that always comes back and bites me.
The thing is,
so this is
The last thing you want to do is be early, though. You want to be right on time. Depending on what you're doing. Because I guess in high school I wanted to be early to football practice because, oh my god, coach is gonna make me run, I gotta do bear crawls. But if I'm just like going to class, like, I wanna be on time. I don't wanna be in there any earlier than I have to.
Yeah, definitely.
It's kind of funny. I'll go for it, Chris. Sorry. I'll talk someday.
I was just going to say, there's definitely different amounts of motivation for me for things. Like, if it really matters, then I will be there on time or early. But if it's like, now that I've been at my job for a while, I'm like, they don't care if I'm here like 5-10 minutes late. No one says anything. Mm-hmm. There's a grace period. Yeah. Whatever. Anyway, what were you going to say, Matt?
Yeah, this is something... My family, for some reason, I look back and I remember that my family was almost always late for almost everything. Mm. And it was partly because I had a really bad habit when I was a kid of overestimating the amount of time I had to get ready. And it was a combination of that. And because my parents knew this, they would ask me to get ready earlier. And I would recognize that they were asking me to get ready early, so I would not heed their requests to get ready.
Exactly.
So right. So they said, for example, going to dinner was a big thing that they always said, like, okay, Matt, we're going to have dinner now. And then if I would have gone right then, I would have been sitting in the kitchen for 10 minutes waiting on everyone else. And I knew that. And because of that, my parents kept asking me earlier, and then I'd keep staying in my room and being late. Anyway, all that to say that when I got to college, and especially post college, I've gotten way better at knowing when I need to leave to be somewhere, usually 10 to 15 minutes early, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that is because my fiance Hannah is usually places 30 minutes to an hour. Like, she'll show up to class 30 minutes early and just sit in class alone.
Wow.
Like, going over notes. And because one thing is that she gets really stressed out if she's running late, and so she overcompensates by being early. Mm-hmm. But sort of that mentality, not so much the getting stressed out part about it, but the sort of being early mentality has kind of rubbed off on me. And I've realized that if I get somewhere early, like, I have time to relax, to get set up, to ease my way in, especially with work. I know that if I can get there, I get there consistently 15 to 20 minutes early. So I log into all my things, get my desktop all set up, you know, nice and slow. Maybe I'll watch a video on YouTube that I wanted to watch last night, but went to bed instead. I'll go grab a Nutri-Grain bar, you know, I'll just kind of mosey around, mm-hmm. and then eventually the day will start and I'll be able to pick up from there. But it's something I'm actually really proud of, I've gotten a lot better at being on time, if not early, for things.
For the longest time, if I needed to be somewhere, like, I guess depending, anywhere I've usually lived and then gone to school or gone to work, I've usually been roughly 10 to 20 minutes away from where I needed to be. So for the most part, I can, like, if I need to be at work, say at 8, I'm about 20 minutes away from my job. I'll wake up at 6. And so the question I always get is like, God, it takes you 2 hours to get ready? And it's like, no, it doesn't take me 2 hours to get ready, but I enjoy the, you know, time to get ready and relax and not be stressed and not be like, I mean, realistically, I can get up at 7 and get out the door at 7:30, but then I'm, you know, rushed and stressed. So I guess on the back end, instead of getting to work early and having that time, I spend that time at home in the morning.
Right.
But yeah, it's the same thing where, like, depending on the situation, I'm either like, I will not be late to a dinner reservation, but I'll be a couple minutes late to work. And it's like, well, why is that my defining line again?
Because those people at the restaurant are going to judge you.
Exactly.
Or you're like, I really want to eat.
And like, come on, work is work. I mean, come on.
See, man. Come on. Just to throw my 2 cents in quick, I'm always like 5 to 3 minutes early for anything I need to be at, because I don't like being late. And it's really nice to like walk in at the time you're supposed to be there, like just before. It's like, hey, I'm like punctual. Like, I was prepared for this, like to a T almost. Like, also because if you show up early, and this is just very defining of me, you have to potentially interact with people before
mm-hmm.
you're like mentally prepared to.
Yeah.
So like, if I get to work like 10 minutes early, I will sit in my car listening to the radio before I walk in, like 2 minutes before my shift starts. And like, that's how it's always been. Like, even when I was working pizza in high school, I would show up and finish the song or CD I was listening to, and then go into work like at the time I was supposed to start working.
Hmm. I mean, I don't interact with my coworkers in the morning.
Right. And
I put on my headphones, yeah. And if they try to talk to me, I mean, it's just like, hey, no, I got headphones and sorry.
Can't hear you.
Whoops. Sorry, nothing's coming through. Bye.
I'm on a different station right now. You can reach me later. Maybe at lunch.
But yeah, going back.
You don't like...
Well, going back to what I was saying is like, it's funny because looking back on it, my parents, like when we would all go somewhere, we would also be like 5 to 10 minutes late to family functions and like mostly mm-hmm. anything. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't even necessarily a great example, but I also didn't do a great job myself either. So I don't know. Definitely one of those things.
It's funny because
to work on.
Yeah, on my family side, my dad will be at least 20 to 30 minutes early
yep.
to a Same. Movie.
Oh yeah,
it's
yeah,
only to movies.
Yeah. No. That's something that didn't translate over to me.
Nope. Like if I missed the previews, I'm like, oh, that's fine. I already probably already saw them all on YouTube anyways, so that's fine. But my dad's like, they're 30 minutes early so we can get the big bucket of popcorn and all the drinks and find our good seats. Because if my dad's like, write too a close, book. The movie's just over.
Write a short novel. Get it published.
That's exactly how my dad was. My dad used to drive me and my brother to school in the morning. And he is a doctor, so like he had to be at the hospital very early. School started at like 7:45 for us. And he had to be at work at like 7:30. But I got to school at 7 o'clock because he knew, oh, I gotta drop you guys off, and then I gotta make it to work, and who knows what can happen between then, and oh, I'm so stressed out, we gotta get there. And Dad, if you're listening, hey, I love you, and I'm so glad you took me to school.
See, it was the opposite for me. We were screaming down Stanley Street on the way to high school.
Yeah, just, yeah. You could have
in a big van. Yeah, but then and then every day he would perform an illegal U-turn right in front of the high school. Like just imagine a giant van and my dad just screaming down skirt! The street and go skirt. All right, son, and then I'd lunge out.
Swear.
Run to first
tuck,
hour.
Tuck and roll.
Swear. Scream. No, that was elementary school, Trent.
Okay. That's right. You're a grown up boy, you don't swear now.
I don't swear ever now.
Never ever.
That's why this is a clean podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to finish this, literally.
Chris, I'm bottoms up.
Well, folks, it looks like we're bottoms up. I've been...
How natural.
Chris, bittersweet O'Brien.
I've been Trent Dribble Boy Safford.
Okay.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like it, but it's a good one. I've been Matt Nostromo Byers.
I have been Michael Fopa.
That was so good. I forgot about that.
That was good.
I've been Colin. Have you heard of Google, Parker?
Hey, so all of our nicknames are like from the beginning of the episode.
We didn't have any goofs. Fun.
We had no goofs. Zero goofs.
Hope you didn't have fun here.
Enjoy the humorless podcast. Speaking of bad etiquette, wasting your time.
Stale and very formal podcast.
As informal as we can be.
Now you
say the thing.
The whole thing or nothing but the thing?
The whole thing. The whole thing. Okay.
Nothing but, so help me God.
The thing, the whole thing, and nothing but the thing.
And a short,
that's right.
Cool.
So help me God.
Break
thank you, Colin.
After you say this episode has been poor quality. Just a short little.
Yeah. Don't forget something. That. Where we all agree with you. Yeah.
I will say, speaking of etiquette, I would like to say, please follow us on Instagram or send us an email to poorquality@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you and interact with you if you're enjoying the show or if you have a related story. That would be super cool to know about. And I will say thank you for everyone who's listened already, because it's fun to do this show, and it's nice that people who aren't us are enjoying it too. So a very sincere and proper etiquette thank you.
Trent,
and if you are listening,
go
ahead, Matt.
Are you going to make fun of me?
You're right. I'll go. Yeah. Trent, it whenever you are trying to sound sincere, it sounds like you're crying. I just want you to be aware of that.
That's like a good thing, isn't it, though?
So, like, guys, I...
No!
If you could follow us on Instagram.
And also, I love you.
I'm sorry, I was having... I am sincerely
No, it was very, thankful. It was very sincere, and I know you are, and I love it, and I am too.
And if you could... Email
you.
Well, folks, looks like we're bottoms up. We'd like to thank Waker for giving us time to crack open our cold ones with their song Gemini from the album This Is Waker. This particular show has been poor quality, but what else do you
class.
Expect?
Ooh, classy.
Oh. Oh, yeah, excuse me, my top hat. I can remove it now, right? The episode's
absolutely.
Over.
Do you have a place for my clothes? No, cut it. Cut everything. Cut the recording.
But the second said to you,